mean to start on a sour note, man, but I just read online that actor Tom Sizemore has passed away.
Oh, wow.
You know, I knew he had been, he had an aneurysm on the 18th of February, and that his family had him on life support, and they were making end of life decisions. So I guess they went ahead and pulled the plug, man. It's unfortunate because he was 61 and he just couldn't defeat his demons. You know, had a lot of substance abuse problems and things like that. He's been kind of out of acting the last few years because of his abuse issues. And but you know, he gave us some memorable performances in Saving Private Ryan, of course.
War movies, Black Hawk Down.
I mean, always a really
other ones. Yeah,
always a good presence on screen. You know, always played his role to the fullest. Very commanding actor. You know, he chewed his scenes up, so to speak, when he was on there. And you know, so he gave us some good roles to remember him by. And unfortunately, just couldn't get past the darkness that was behind him. You know, and he succumbed to it through substance abuse. You know, causing the aneurysm. And you know, unfortunately, is no longer with us. But he has a good body of work for us to remember him by.
So. Absolutely, man. Saving Private Ryan, probably the top of that list.
Oh, yeah.
You know, very, very memorable in that movie. Sad to hear. Lost an iconic actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. You know, he's one of those guys that you might not always remember his name, but when you saw him on screen, you're like, oh, that's that guy, you know? And
It's like, oh, man, that name sounds so familiar. And you're like, oh, yeah, I know
him. Was he in Heat also?
Was he in Heat? That's a good question.
I want to say he had a small part in it, but maybe
I know there was like five or six like really good movies that he was in. He made an appearance in Cobra Kai in 2023.
No, really, I didn't know that.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of B movies last couple of years was issues. But definitely appeared in some big films. You know, like we said, Saving Private Ryan is probably top of that list easily. Then Black Hawk Down is up there. Yeah, his career the last few years is just full of B movies and stuff, unfortunately, as he fought his problems.
He played a DEA agent in Point Break.
Yeah,
I realize that.
Wait, the original or the remake?
The original.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He is in Point Break.
Natural Born Killers. He was in Natural Born Killers. Wyatt Earp. Heat.
Yeah.
Yep, he was in Heat.
He was in Heat. Okay.
Michael Cerietto.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, he worked with some big actors in, man.
Enemy of the State.
Yeah. I mean, so you look at that list, man. This is a character actor who worked with Gene Hackman, Tom Hanks.
Stallone.
Pearl
Harbor. So he worked with Affleck and
Al Pacino. I mean, this guy, well, quite a career he made playing a character actor. So, but Tom Sizemore no longer with us as of tonight, man. So sad. We didn't mean to start showing a sad note, but it's important to pay our respects and our tributes to a guy who gave us some good roles in movies, and you know, that's what we do on this show. So
yeah, man.
But other than that, man, you know, it's been a week. I'm tired. Not gonna lie, but I've got my energy up. I'm ready to do the show. You know, it's just you know, I got vacation the week after next, and God dang it, I'm ready to kind of rest.
Me too, man. I'm ready to just do nothing. You know, sometimes you need some days like that where you I'm not gonna do anything. I'm gonna be super unproductive.
Yeah. Hey.
And
almost every Sunday for me, man, other than editing the show, Sundays are my day where I really, you know, I try not to do much. I mean, I'll kind of clean the house up and do some laundry, but I got to have that day once a week, man. Otherwise I'll fucking just like lose my mind. You know,
it's like, yeah, I think it's healthy to have that kind of time. You know, just don't do anything, you know, super, you know, stressful. Don't worry about it, anything. Just kind of, you know, have your beer at 10 a.m. or whatever after you, you know, just sit out in your lawn, you know, one of those kind of days.
I'm definitely, I might take the kids to the movie or something and maybe do a couple things, but I'm mostly just going to really full on relax for a week. I mean, there I we do go, stuff. Man. My summer vacations, I tend to do more. So my spring vacation, it's going to be not do shit if I can help it. So that's okay. But this is the Rebel Radio Podcast, and welcome officially to the show. And, you know, I just want to say thanks for everyone that's listened to us the last few years, man, as we're fixing to, we're almost to our another anniversary date, man. We've been doing this for hell, a long time now. And it's like, you know, yeah. 337 episodes, and it's just another milestone's coming up. It just made me think about it because I the server space, or not the server space, but the URL for the website was due this week. You know, it's like $15 for the year or whatever. And I was like, man, it's already been another year going by on the show. So it's we're getting to that point, man, where we're going to be like 10 years old before you know it. I mean,
oh yeah, man,
the actual Rebel Radio in existence is over 10 years old, you know, back when we did as an internet radio show. And but as a podcast, man, we're going to hit 10 years here. And I think a couple years we're away. I think if we make it that long, so yeah, we'll see.
I think it's actually next year.
It might be. I have no reason to see why we would stop. I don't think it was 2014 we started.
Yeah, that's I think it was, man. I think it was 2014 in February. I think it was February of 2014.
Well, I'll have to go back and look because I have the dates all on the website. But we are getting to an elder age for a podcast, that's for sure. And you can always find all our episodes at therebelradiopodcast.com. And, well, the website only goes back to, like, episode 80, I think, when we launched the website officially. But our archives, there is an archive link there. You can find all the episodes on our Podbean account. So if you want to listen to those early episodes, they're not very good.
But we've definitely come a long way from there.
Definitely, man. We had no fucking idea what we were doing when we first launched the show. We're just honest truth. We're like, oh, let's make a podcast. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. What do we do? I don't know. We just fucking talk about shit.
Yeah. And,
so, you know, but it's worked out well, man. It's still a lot of fun to do. And so it's good. Man, but this week, I've been so busy, man. I didn't really have a chance to watch any movies like last week. And I actually watched Ambulance and All Quiet on the Western Front. This week was just a couple of shows, man. And I want to get into this right away, man, because I know you watched it too. And the Mandalorian is back. Season 3 yes. finally premiered after 2 years since season 2. You know, we had the Boba Fett interlude in between last year, which had a season 2.5 in the middle of the Boba Fett show for Mandalorian.
Yeah.
But my first thought on the season premiere of Mandalorian is in the first 5 minutes, this is definitely – I didn't realize how much of a comfort show this has become in just 2 seasons. It's like, wow, this is great to be back in that familiar universe and familiar faces and familiar friends. And it's just another sign of how much I fucking love Star Wars. And, you know, and I did enjoy Andor, but I didn't get that feeling from Andor.
Yeah.
You know, I got that feeling. I know people didn't like Boba Fett as much, but when I watched Boba Fett, I got that feeling of being in a familiar universe. People – familiar friends. I got that feeling with Obi-Wan, familiar universe with familiar friends. Andor didn't give that to me as much until closer to the end of the show. And Mandalorian is like that, man. It's just good to be back. And it's a pretty, we're going to go into some spoilers here, but you know, the episode's been out. By the time y'all hear this Monday, the episode's been out almost a week. So you've had time to watch it.
Did you get those pictures I sent you? Those non-spoiler pictures?
Yeah. Stop trying to be like the internet dorks, Matt. That's what okay. I have to say. Don't be gay.
Don't be gay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't be gay. Oh man, was that not politically correct? You know what?
Whatever. Who cares?
Tired of woke culture. I'm going to say what I want to fucking say. But you know, on another note, I apologize to the possible any K listeners that we have.
yeah, sorry, Frank. Yeah,
poor Frank. But yeah, so it's a pretty man. It takes place. You know, there's some time has passed, I guess, since season 2. As they immediately within the first 20 minutes, we find out how they wrote out Gina Carano's character, that she's now working with Republic Special Forces after her vocal incident, I guess, or you could say, or getting fired by Disney. We won't really get into that, but everyone knows that you know she was let go. So they wrote her out of the story, and we find out that Mando is looking to find his way back into the Mandalorian order of things. And so he's on a quest to do that. But by doing that, he needs to do a few things. He needs to return to Mandalore to see if the mines, or if he can even access the planet, because he's been told all this time since the Purge that it's poisoned and no good. And but in order to do that, he needs droid help. So he wants to. He goes back to Nevarro and says, "Hey, I need IG-88, who's now been turned into, or IG-11, who's been turned into a statue, and
kind of like a Rocky statue,
right?" And he's so like, "Well, we need to bring him back to life." So this crazy thing happens where the droid almost goes back to his programming and tries to kill Grogu.
There's like really a pet cemetery kind of thing, man.
Yeah.
You know, they try and bring him back, but he comes back in his original program and he's like, destroy.
Yeah. I love the joke they threw in there too, because people around the world still call him Baby Yoda. And, what's his name? Carl Weathers' character. What's his name?
Moff Karga?
No. Oh man, why is his name escaping me?
Grief Karga.
So Grief Karga, he tells Grief Karga his name is Grogu, and Karga is like, if you say so. So yeah, he makes a joke. He goes, "Oh, if you say so," kind of like everyone else. You know, they just ignore that he's
like, Baby okay. And then he just says, "This creature."
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
And I thought that was kind of funny how they did. There was like a joke in there after everyone calling him Baby Yoda. I mean, I still refer to him as Baby Yoda. I forget that it's Grogu, you know.
Oh yeah,
and
the child, you know.
Yeah, and wasn't in the opening sequence, man, where they're fighting the big monster that comes out? We're seeing the
Gator baby,
dude. Did it kind of remind you of like Star Wars Galaxies back when we played? Everyone trying to kill a crate or something.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
It was like, man, there's been a lot of Galaxy's vibes throughout Mandalorian's two seasons so far. I'm like, man, this feels like someone's played that game that we played back
through
in the 2000s.
Yeah, going through this on the scoot bike through the desert and all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah, and I could see that.
So he tries to reprogram IG-11 and it goes astray and he finds out he needs some parts. So it gives him a quest on top of his quest and we see him leave and in our Nevarro to go find this part he needs, and he stops by and visits Bo-Katan, and she's kind of pissed off at him, and because she basically has no power anymore.
Everyone left her.
And so she basically gave him the cold bitch shoulder, like, "Oh man, you're tough shit." You know, basically, it's how I felt. Uh-huh. She gave it to him, and so he leaves and continues his quest onwards towards finding this part he needs to fix IG-11, and. Am I missing anything? That's kind of what happens in the episode, pretty much.
That's pretty much the
cool space
thing.
Battle. It was nice to see a cool space battle finally. You know, sometimes
with
Star
the pirates,
Wars sometimes Star Wars doesn't do enough space stuff. It's called Star Wars, and it all takes place in the ground. So it was kind of cool to see that space battle. Against the pirates, and he takes them out with some clever piloting, and of course Grogu has a lot of little cute moments in it as he does little things, and then. Towards the end of, or at the beginning when they're flying through hyperspace, I love the nod to Rebels with the space whales. That was really cool. I mean, it's obviously some foreshadowing there, as we know they've cast Ezra and Sabine and some of these shows, Ahsoka and stuff, that these characters are going to show up. So I thought that was a nice nod to Rebels and some foreshadowing to the return of Ezra possibly in the future shows.
That would be cool. I'd like to see something like that. I also think it was a cute moment when Grogu grabbed one of the even smaller creatures than himself, and he was like picking it up like it was a friggin' kitten, you know. Oh, yeah. And he's like, "Wah!" and I like the little comedy aspect there between Carl Weathers and Pedro Pascal, where, you know, that those tiny little mechanic aliens are trying to explain what they need.
Oh, yeah.
And he's hearing that, he understands them, and he's like, "They're saying this." And he's like, "I know." And then he does it again. "They're saying, I know." And then he looks at him finally, and he's like, "Okay."
The Babu Fricks.
Yeah. Aliens. The Babu Frick from Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was funny. And,
yeah, those little aliens from Rise of Skywalker, pretty kind of cute and scruffy, I guess, kind of like a little T terrier, I guess. You know, it kind of looked like a like an alien if it was a terrier. And then, yeah, Grogu man, just you know, trying to grab one of them. It's kind of not quite as cute as and weird as whenever he was trying to grab the eggs. That was pretty funny. but yeah, he's back, man. The Mando's back, and everything we love about it's back.
I mean, the marketing of the child, Baby Yoda, Grogu, whatever you want to call him, is just pure genius from Disney. I mean, he's everywhere. He's on T-shirts, and I bought some socks the other day for Waverly, girl socks, and they're Baby Yoda. I mean, just the marketing was just absolutely across the board. I mean, you know, it's one of the biggest Star Wars marketing things they've ever done, and it's brilliant, man, you know. And The Mandalorian just comes together nicely. It's just a really well-written show, really well done. You know, at times it kind of seems like, you know, it seems simple, like go here, do this, go here, do that. But it's just like it's so well placed in the Star Wars universe that you maybe forgive it for some of its simplicities.
Yeah.
You know, and it delivers on really huge moments. Like, I mean, the Luke moment is still one of the best moments of Star Wars ever. You know, I mean, it's right up there in the top five easily, you know, where Luke appears and comes to the ship and saves him. I mean, it's just incredible. And it's just good to have the show back, man. It seems like it's been too long. So I'm glad it's back for sure.
Oh yeah, man. Man, they're splitting up the episodes again every week, of course. So we'll have to tune in, every Wednesday?
It was like every Wednesday. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Was it like Saturday or Fridays one season, but it's every Wednesday this season? So.
Yeah, yeah. I think they've been messing with the days on us.
Yeah,
every season.
And on top of that, man, I also, of course, watched the latest episode of The Last of Us, man, which another fantastic episode. This tells us the DLC storyline from the game called Left Behind, where we basically get some background on Ellie's story and her friend Riley. And the friendship they had, and a very close friendship, and you know, woke culture was all over this too. Like, oh, you know, these two and their kids, you know, you can't have them kiss and fall in love. It's like, fuck, man. If that's what you got out of the story, then you missed the point in the story. You know, this was a way less, dare I say, I mean, LGBT episode than the Offerman episode was. This to me was just a couple of kids that, you know, have a wonderful friendship and maybe they share a love for each other, but I didn't feel it was like, you know, overly romantic or sexual or anything like that. You know, it's just a couple of kids that really appreciate each other in this time of crisis. And we get a background of Ellie as we see what she's going through as she's in the cute quarantine zone. And Neil Druckmann, the creator of The Last of Us, he is a huge Pearl Jam fan. And in case you didn't know, that was a Pearl Jam song she's listening to in the Walkman at the beginning. And in the game, Joel actually sings to Ellie in part two a song from their album Lightning Bolt. But Lightning Bolt didn't come out till 2015 or 16. And since the outbreak in the show is 2003, the last Pearl Jam album that would have came out for the outbreak was Riot Act. So they used a song off the Riot Act album. So Druckmann did do his homework and even talked about an interview he gave. He goes, oh yeah, we did our homework. We pulled a song from it was appropriate for the time. And it's called All or None is a song. And it fits Ellie's situation. If you listen to the lyrics just as well. And so I thought that was cool as being a big, huge fan of that band, my favorite band in the world. so the Ellie's a PJ fan. So I'll take it. Makes me like her even more. And so we see what her struggles in the QZ as she's trying to go through their almost like a military program as they learn to be leaders in this new world and things like that. And her friend Riley, though, asked her to like kind of, hey, come hang out with me after hours. You know, they're not supposed to do it. But, you know, Riley, she hadn't seen Riley in a few days and she finds out why as Riley has been training for a new position. They're going to send her away. So they want to have a good time together last night and they take her to a mall. You know, which the electricity still works and, you know, they just enjoy themselves. I mean, they're enjoying something we take for granted every day that we can go into a mall or something like this. But in this world, they've never seen anything like that. So they go and they enjoy their time in there, just being silly, taking pictures, which is right from the game or riding the carousel and things like that. and just have beautiful moments together. You know, what might be their last night hanging out together? Is they're going to be separated? At this point, they only know they're going to be separated. But then tragedy is true to this show, man. This show is going to, man, the game does this to you. The game pulls you together and breaks you apart. And the show is doing that too, man. It's pulling you together and then breaking you apart. And, you know, they get attacked by a infected while in the mall, and we get to see how Ellie got her her cut on her arm, and but unfortunately Riley is bitten too, and you know, and we don't see Riley die, but they say, hey, well, let's spend our last moments together no matter what, and you can make your assumption from that you know Ellie probably had to kill Riley because she says she told Joel it's not the first time I've had to kill someone. I think it plays back to that. That's probably what she had to do as Ellie goes on and survives. And so it makes you smile and it makes you appreciate their friendship for each other. Then it rips your heart out at the end of the episode, which is The Last of Us has done a hell of a good job doing that for the first eight episodes, you know, pulling at your heartstrings. And man, I thought it was a really well done episode. I know I read people say, oh, it was boring, not much happened, but man, I think at this point you're missing the point of the show if you're thinking it's going to be zombie action every week. And we did talk about that last week, how we wish there was a little more zombie action. Oh, they don't even call them zombies, infected action or things like that. But then I'm really starting to realize that the story they're telling is the human side of this. And I was really thinking back to the game. And the more I think about it, the game really is about the human side of it too, that the infected is just part of the journey, so to speak. You know, it's not the important part of the story. But I thought it was a wonderful episode, and you know, even if it was sad at the end, and then you know, at the end of the episode, it's left where we see. I thought it was a beautiful moment as Ellie's holding Joel's hand as he's recovering from his wounds, and she tells him, you know, I need you, you know, and we realize how much at this point that Ellie has lost, and she really, you know, needs Joel to be there for her.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a character developing episode. It's a, you know, get to know your, you know, get to know, you know, this person kind of episode, this background. I wanted to see more of what was kind of going on with Joel. Cause I'm like, what if they kill him off? You know, I was like, what if they like, just like, you know, it'll what, screw you wait, guys, man. You know, he's fungi food. You know, I just wanted to see if that's what they were going to do. Cause I know, in the second video game, he dies like right at the beginning, huh?
Oh, just ruin it for everybody, Matt.
It's been out for how long?
Yeah. But not everybody plays the game. They just watch the show.
Yeah. it's like, part of me is like, you know, what if they just kind of keep them alive? I mean, they change stuff in video game, you know, video game, TV shows, video game movies all the time. I feel like you kind of have to keep them alive longer than you would have normally done. So see how they do that. But yeah, I definitely wanted to see more of Joel, you know, instead of like the whole episode, you know, pretty much being dedicated, but I guess I see why they did it. You want to get background and stuff on certain characters.
If they stay true to the game, you're going to have a pretty fucking swell Joel moment coming. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Yeah, no, I like it so far.
Only have
like,
two episodes left.
Yeah, man. I knew we were getting down to like the last one or two. Mm-hmm. So what, this week and then next week and then another year or two, I guess, till we have another season.
Yeah. Well, I read they're writing season two already, and they're hoping to start production in the fall. But yeah, I don't think we're going to get it in January next year. It might be a little slight delay until season two. But that's okay. But yeah, man, you know, that's what I checked out this week, man. Mandalorian season three premiere. Glad it's back. And then The Last of Us, man, I did watch about the first hour of Terminator Genesis. I've been on this Terminator kick lately, and I was kind of revisiting it to kind of get a fresh perspective on it. And I've only made it about an hour into it, and this was kind of last night I was watching it. And You know, it's, I don't know. I remember, if I remember correctly, the movie falls apart in the last half because the first half's really not that bad.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it must be the second half is where it kind of falls apart, if I remember right, from when we all, I know you, me, and Frank went and saw it in theaters when it came out. And, and I'm kind of remembering that now. I'm like, well, this first half is pretty good. So if I remember right, it all kind of falls apart in the second half of the movie.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's funny because it's like I was thinking about, and we'll get more into it when we talk about the movie. I was thinking about like what, like, you know, if the Terminator, how the Terminator franchise would do without Arnold versus like the Rocky franchise, you know, how it goes on doing without Stallone with the whole Creed franchise now. Because that's what I checked out. I checked out Creed today.
Man, I figured out you had time to go to movies during the week, man.
Yeah. I was, you know, now I got that schedule. I get off at 4:30 in the morning and I'm up at, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock. And if I'm off that weekend, it's like, you know, oh, I can go check out a movie really quick, you know, before the kids get home from school. So I figured I'd go see it since the reviews were good. You know, I'll remain spoiler free. Of course.
Just give us a quick little short review, not too much time on it, because I mean, it just came out and, you know, I want to see it eventually.
Jonathan Majors, of course, plays a good bad guy. He plays a good villain. Obviously by the trailer, you see that this is someone from, you know, from Adonis Creed's past. And that's exactly who it is. And you know, from whenever Adonis was kind of in those group homes, you know, kind of like how he mentions in the movie we're about to talk about. So they kind of revisit some of that about his past. And it's as, you know, as you know from the casting, this is a Rocky-less movie. There's no Rocky in the movie. This is all, you know, Michael B. Jordan, this his directorial debut, kind of doing what Stallone did, where, you know, he directed and acted. And it felt like a Rocky movie, but like something was missing. And I think it is Stallone. I think you do find that, you know, there is somewhat of a void there in his absence. Kind of like if your grandmother always made like these really good peanut butter cookies or something, and someone else, you know, took the recipe, because it's got all the recipe of a great Rocky movie, but it's missing that thing, you know, when your grandma makes it, it's man, it's out of this world. Someone else makes it. Hey, you know, that's good too, but it's just, it's missing something.
Well, that's that's one thing Stallone did on the first two films is a lot of the rewrites that were involved were him saying like, this needs to be here because it's a Rocky thing, or this needs to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. And, and I feel like it was missing some of that there, you know, obviously some nods, just like there are in these, you know, the first two Creed movies, which I also checked out, Creed 2, just revisited it again.
But Creed 3 is getting better reviews than Creed 2.
It is. It is.
Very well received.
And, you know, and I see why. It just, you know, it's good. I don't know if it's where IMDb and these critics are rating it. I know you commented on a Variety post earlier, Mark, and I agree with you. Rocky 5 should not have been where it was on that list. That's a bunk list. IMDb is probably a more objective critique on some of these movies, and I can see why they went this route with most of them. They've got, if you go by IMDb, it's Rocky, number one, Creed 3, Rocky 2, which I don't know if I would put Rocky 3 or Creed 3 above Rocky 2. I'd probably flip those. But they're like a decimal point ahead, you know, difference. Then they've got Creed 2 and Rocky Balboa together, like same score. Then they've got a tie between Rocky 3 and Rocky 4, which I know you'd probably disagree with. I think Rocky 3 is a little bit better than Rocky 4, but I like Rocky 4 just for like a few moments in the movie. And then they've got Rocky 5, of course, the last one.
I need to revisit Rocky Balboa.
I remember some good things about it. There's some really good inspirational stuff. Some good philosophical stuff.
Remember when it came out thinking, I actually think I saw in theaters. I just remember it coming out and going, oh, wait, he can fight again? But in Rocky V, he's not allowed to fight because he has brain damage. They just sort of retconned it all, and it's like, oh, he can fight again.
Yeah, now he's all of a sudden gets a license again.
Yeah, so I do remember that about it. Like, it just sort of pretended like the things in V didn't really happen.
Yeah. Yeah, there are things in V that didn't work for a number of reasons. There's a lot of hip-hop in the Creed movies, and, you know, they tried to put that in Creed in Rocky V, and it just didn't work. It didn't feel right.
It works for the Creed movies, so.
Yeah.
But it's a good segue
into what we're talking about today.
Yeah, on that note, man, I think we'll save the news for the after the featured film today. We'll remix things up a little bit. And let's get into the feature film then, because, you know, since we're already getting into Rocky territory, and we wanted to go back and revisit the first Creed this weekend as, you know, the third one's hitting theaters, and we just felt it was the right time to go back and talk the beginning of Adonis's journey in the 2015 film Creed.
Directed by Ryan Coogler,
who had previously directed Michael B. Jordan in Fruitvale Station, another wonderful little movie that he made. And Coogler had this idea for a couple of years, to be honest. He had written the script. He had a script treatment, and he wanted to revive the Rocky franchise with Creed, and he wasn't going to do it unless he had Stallone's blessing. And the script went through some rewrites. From what I read, there were some scripts that didn't have Rocky in it, and there was a script that had Rocky in it, but Coogler really wanted to do the one with Rocky, and Stallone was real just no for a long time. And he finally, through Coogler's persistence, sitting down with him and saying, hey man, you know, we can do this. And Stallone finally bought into it. And he said, you know what? You're right. I think it can work. And Stallone finally signed on. And Coogler, I read somewhere that said he was like a kid in a candy store, jumping around saying, yes, Sylvester said, yes, let's do it. You know, he was so excited to finally get the movie made. Cause it was kind of a passion project, Ryan Coogler's. And it shows on screen, man, that it's a passion project because he treats the character of Rocky and this franchise with a lot of reverence, and it's really well done. But basically the story is, to summarize the film, is we meet first few minutes of the film. We meet a very young Adonis, Johnson. Last name he's using, and he's in a group home, and we are introduced to, Apollo Creed's, his wife, who was played by the original actress from the Rocky films. And she goes to visit Adonis, and he doesn't know who she is. We find out very on that this is Apollo's illegitimate son. And she wants to take him in and give him a place to live. And so he doesn't have to grow up in group homes and give him a path basically in life. Mm-hmm. So she does that. And we flash 40 years later where Adonis is older and has a good job and everything. But man, he just has that Apollo Creed blood running into him. He sneaks off to Mexico to do fights, and he just can't get out of the system against his, who he now calls his mother. You know, she's adopted him. You assume at this point. And he realizes, like, you know, he just can't get out of his blood. He wants to fight, and he quits his job and against his mother's wishes. And he can't seem to have any, he realizes that in Hollywood, living in LA, that he's not going to really find that correct path because of, you know, he doesn't know anybody. So he goes out to Philadelphia and he seeks out Rocky. And at first Rocky's like, oh, you know, it's not a good idea. You know, your dad wouldn't want you to do this. But Adonis is persistent. And Rocky eventually agrees to train him. And he builds up a reputation once the word gets out that this is Apollo Creed's son. And he ends up getting a championship fight against a pretty Ricky Conlan, Irish fighter who's the number one light heavyweight boxer in the world. But it's not about, this movie to me is not about the fight and the boxing. It's about this character of Adonis and building his own legacy. There's a moment in this movie that's, to me, is so emotional. And that's when he's tells Rocky, goes, I can't stop. And Rocky's like, why? He goes, cause I got to prove I'm not a mistake. And I'm like, wow, that hits hard. You know,
that man, you can always count on Stallone to tug at your heartstrings, mm-hmm. your heartstrings in these Rocky films. I mean, pick a moment, you know, whenever he, you know, whenever he says, Adrian, we did it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's my favorite Rocky moment, that one.
Yeah. I mean, the ending of Rocky One, the ending of Rocky Two, you know, there is no tomorrow, Rocky Three, whenever he, you know, he gets his speed and he gets his title back. I mean, you know, there's, you know, a lot of ways that he's, you know, he pulls at you emotionally in these films, and you're just like, you know, you're watching the boxing and you're like, oh, you know, you're kind of like, you know, bucking and weaving, you know, in the movie, and then he throws this at you and you're just like, oh man, you know, you feel all tingly inside.
Yeah, it brings it back to the reality of what's going on. That's about this man, not about the fight. And, yeah, you're right. It's intense, man. And Michael B. Jordan, his acting sells it, man. He almost looks like he's going to cry when he says that line.
He's got great range, man.
Yeah, he sells it himself. He's such a good young actor, man. I really like him on screen a lot.
He can do a lot.
Yeah, I remember first seeing him in the Friday Night Lights TV show. That was one of the first times I saw him, and he was really good in that. And Coogler's direction sells it too, man. He makes the fights feel like you're part of it.
Shot with the number six overall fighter that he, whenever they first find out that he's Creed, but they agree to keep it on the wraps, against the Lion. That's his nickname, the Lion. It's all a one shot. It pans around the ring and comes back around, and it goes wide. It goes narrow. And, that's a beautiful shot. Mm-hmm. And until now, Coogler was doing indie films. This was his first big film. Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers loved his script.
Yeah. No, his direction is great. Makes you feel like you're in. But then he also knows when to pull the camera back for those important emotional moments. Whether it's Bianca seeing her face and her reactions on the side of the ring to what's going on to her boyfriend, to seeing Rocky's reactions and the announcers. And he's so good at that. And as much as I enjoyed Coogler's first Black Panther movie, and I enjoyed Wakanda Forever too, I really want to see him go back and make more movies like this, a little bit smaller, you know, a little bit more personal, without the big special effects and everything. Cause this guy has definitely got an eye for making films. And I think Ryan Coogler is on his way to have a wonderful career as one of our possible best new younger directors in Hollywood. Cause
I agree.
He can shoot a fucking film so nicely. And this movie also has a lot of great, it's not just about Adonis. He does a great job of not just Adonis' journey, but continuing Rocky's journey too. We see Rocky at a different place in his life where, you know, he's lost many people he loves. Paulie is gone and Adrian is gone, and he runs his restaurant and it's called Adrian's, and he's okay with his life. He's a very satisfied Rocky, like, you know, and we find out that he has cancer. And Rocky's willing to just give up, you know. I wouldn't even say give up. I don't feel like
he's seen that battle before.
Right.
He saw what his wife went through. Yeah.
And I think, I don't even want to say he was giving up. I think he's at a place in his life where he was okay with it. You know, his legacy was there. But then through his friendship and, with Adonis, he realizes he has to fight too, because he realizes Adonis was a fighter his whole life. And the two of them, the way they play off of each other, I love the relationship they developed. And Adonis call him uncle and teasing him and things like that. And then just great little moments like that, you know. So it's also brings Rocky's journey forward more too, from where we were left off after Rocky VI.
And he's like, it's in the cloud. What's the cloud?
Yeah.
It's the cloud. What's the cloud?
Yeah. We got to find out who won the gym fight.
Yeah.
Between Apollo and
finally get an answer.
Yeah, that was cool. And I think that's what's great about this film. It's a throwback to the Rocky films, because people don't realize, you know, the Rocky films are very much character journeys than they are boxing movies about Rocky and this guy and his friends and family around him. And family was always important to Rocky, you know, in throughout all the films. And that continues in this, as he kind of, you know, treats Adonis like a son, and because he's estranged from his son, which we already knew from Rocky Balboa, and that him and his son were estranged, and they continue to be estranged in this film. And I know we get some closure on that at the end of Creed 2. We're not talking Creed 2 today. We're talking Creed. And so this gives Rocky a new meaning to take Adonis under his wing, and, you know, not, and he, and uh, just, you know, he feels that Apollo would have told him, like, hey, don't fight, you don't do this. But he sees the determination in this kid and the will, and he says, you know, all right, we'll do it. But he tells him, you're going to do it my way. And I love the throwbacks to the original Rockies where he's chasing the chickens, and he's like,
Chickens
must be getting slower. Yeah. Just one great, great little moments like that. You could tell without a fucking doubt that Coogler strongly did his homework when he wrote this script. And Sylvester came in, and I know Sylvester added some stuff. Like, I think I read that the gravesite scene was added by Stallone. He's like, hey, Rocky would go pay respects to his friend Paulie on his birthday and visit his wife. And I read somewhere that Rocky did add that scene in, and Coogler was all for it. You know, he wanted to listen to what Rocky had to say, or Sylvester had to say. I called him Rocky. And so I think they added some stuff like that. And Sylvester Stallone's legacy is already sealed as being Rocky, but I think the Creed movies have added to it. And have sealed it even more, you know, it's such a great passing of the torch too, from Rocky to Adonis Creed. And now we're getting his journey that he goes on. And now, you know, Creed 3 is in theaters, and we'll get to continue that journey and see where he goes. And if it's successful, I would imagine they'll continue to make these films and give Creed his own legacy of movies. But it starts off so strongly. I mean, this first Creed film was, and I kind of dismissed it. I'm not going to lie. When it came out, I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, do we really need a Creed film? Then word of mouth started coming. I heard how good it was, and I didn't watch it till it came out. And I think I rented it, because you could still rent movies on Redbox or Netflix back then.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it and just being so enthralled by it, and remember kind of cheering the screen at the end. You know, and then there was another throwback to Rocky where Adonis doesn't win. You know, Rocky didn't win that first fight. Adonis doesn't win. He loses by decision. But he earns the absolute respect of the world. Even Conley comes up to him afterwards after talking so much shit about how he's not real. He's just doing it by name. He earns Conley's respect by going 12 rounds with him. And then the whole arena is shouting, Creed, 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 you know, and it just brings Adonis's journey full swing that he wasn't a mistake, that, you know, this was the right thing to do. And they could have ended this series right here. I mean, honestly, Creed stands alone as its own film. Wonderful scene at the end of the movie where Adonis and Rocky go up the stairs, and that Rocky famously ran up in the Rocky films, and they're just standing there having a moment together. And they could have ended it right there, you know, and not did any more, and it would have been perfectly okay, you know. But we've have continued Adonis's journey.
Yeah, and I know Stallone. He said it was very humbling playing, you know, the part of a cancer patient, basically, in that going up those steps and having to, you know, having to do the scenes in the hospital. He's like, man, this is what, you know, normal people go through, you know, every day. He's like, well, this is what everyday people deal with, you know. And he said it was very humbling having to be put in that position and experience that. You know, he uses, you know, his son died, you know, during this film. Mm-hmm. He had a heart attack, and he was so distraught over it.
He didn't want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. But Coogler convinced him that this film could be his tribute to his son. Because as this movie has all throughout, a lot of father and son themes, you know, being there, going the distance, you know, and all of that. You know, Rocky is very much a father figure, to Adonis in this film, and they are family. You know, he's there, you know, because Apollo can't be. Mm-hmm. And he's said this before. Stallone regrets, killing Creed. In Rocky IV, he has said before, man, I wish I would have made it to where he was just badly crippled and he took the, you know, the role of Mick, you know, basically, going forward. But, you know, I feel like this movie, and Creed II redeems Rocky IV, you know, makes it more in the span of things, more than just a revenge story.
Yeah.
And gives it more purpose. So it's, you know, this film does a lot of good things.
Yeah. And another thing that Coogler chose to cast real fighters to fight against Apollo because he wanted a sense of realism to it. Mm-hmm. And we have even, and now another thing, Rocky or Sylvester Stallone was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for this second time. He was nominated for the same character, which was interesting.
He should have won.
Also, we haven't even talked about Tessa Thompson and how good she is. I mean, you know, Rocky always had Adrian as his person that brought him down to that level. And we get Tessa doing her thing, playing Bianca, who keeps Adonis, you know, level-headed. And and Tessa's great in the movie.
Yeah, she told Coogler that she didn't want to just be a pretty face. Mm-hmm. She wanted to have some kind of a purpose. And, you know, she has her own journey. She has her own business. She has her own struggles, aside from, you know, Michael B. Jordan's character struggles. And, you know, she's there as, you know, comfort for him. You know, he needs her, because, you know, he turns to her whenever he has trouble. You know, when Rocky, you know, says that, you know, he shouldn't basically care about him because he's just, you know, just a guy to him, basically, you know, that hurts him. And, he needs her to talk to, he needs her to lean on. And, you know, that's what the sport is all about. The sport is all about leaning on people. You lean on your trainer, you lean on your sparring partners. And you definitely lean on your significant other. I mean, every great boxing movie, Southpaw, you know, every Rocky film, there's been, you know, Apollo had Marianne, you know, and, of course, you know, Rocky had Adrian, and, you know, everyone has their purpose. She wanted hers to be in a different way. And I felt like, she is a little bit different, you know, because mm-hmm. she has her own struggles. And so, and her chemistry, with Michael B. Jordan's, Adonis Creed, Adonis Johnson, is great. I think their chemistry on film, super believable, and they're great together. Just a great performance between those two.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think this this movie works so well because of that great script, first off, that pays tribute to the other films, but also becomes its own thing and sends Adonis on the beginning of his journey. It's well directed, well shot by Ryan Coogler and his cinematography team. Well acted across the board. It just tells a really good story that's uplifting, you know, and you can watch this with the whole family really and enjoy it. You know, and it has some adult themes in it, but nothing that I don't think children couldn't handle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you find yourself kind of cheering at the end, like you do most Rocky movies. You find yourself kind of applauding the main character of Adonis and his journey, and you feel satisfied even when he doesn't win the fight. You know, you're not, just like the original Rocky, you weren't really upset that Rocky lost. You're not really upset that Adonis loses the fight because you realize the journey that he's been on is more important.
Yeah. And there's a bigger picture there. And, you know, and it also sets the precedent that the film is not about winning, because that's not your opponent, you know, and Rocky gives that philosophy to him when he has him look into the mirror and he says, "See that guy staring back at you?" He's mm-hmm. like, "I believe this in life and I believe it in boxing. That's your biggest opponent."
Yeah.
And it's about getting over your own doubts, your own obstacles that you create for yourself, and going the distance, whether it's 12 rounds, whether it's confidence, you name it. So there's a lot of philosophical themes in here, as there are with a lot of other, you know, of the Rocky films in the universe. Rocky V, you know, mixed speech. Rocky IV, you know, the speech at the end, we all can change. You know, it's Rocky III, there's no tomorrow, you know. It's like there's great philosophical moments in all these films.
Sylvester Stallone was the same age that Burgess Meredith was whenever. Yeah,
that's right.
Film, so
same age as 1976 Burgess Meredith.
Yep.
Which is cool. Crazy, because Burgess looks a little bit older. than Rocky.
Probably a bit of a rougher lifestyle back then. Yeah, I imagine you know, doing some drinking and partying and all those Westerns and movie, playing Mr. the Penguin, all those things he did.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's lots of images out there of him and Cesar Romero hanging out, smoking stogies and drinking, I'm sure, while filming Batman. So, you know,
uh-huh.
I'm sure it was quite a different lifestyle back then. You know, but hey, overall though, man, Creed is such a solid movie. It's just so well done. And, they, you know, it's funny, they just hit HBO Max on Wednesday. So I actually was looking at HBO Max. I'm like, oh, Creed's on here. So I watched it Wednesday night. Cause it wasn't streaming last week when we started recording, but they put them on HBO Max, I guess, in time for the new movie to come out. So, but man, such a good film. If you were hesitant about watching Creed, you're like, oh, I was done after Last Rocky. You should give it a chance because it really is a really good film.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, man. And I know Rocky V is the redheaded stepchild, but it just reminds me of that speech that Mick gave. And he said, I believe, you know, he's like, nature's smarter than people think. Little by little, we lose until we just say, why the hell am I even living anymore? And he says, and then I look at you, kid, and I've got reason to go on. He's like, yep. And I want to do good by you, and I will do good by you. And not when I'm done with you, not only will you be able to fight inside the ring, but you'll be able to take care of yourself outside of the ring. Yep. And I feel like Rocky fully embodies doing that in these Creed films. And it's like watching poetry. This film, it's an A.
Yep. Yeah, that's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we did things a little backwards. We're gonna do a little bit of news here, which we used to do the news at the end, but so it's kind of going back to the old way. Throwback Thursday. It's a cool kids call it, I guess. Only it's Friday night. It's not a whole lot of news, but man, Star Trek Discovery. You know, been a well received Star Trek show on Paramount Plus. Announced that it will end after season 5. You know, so it told its 5-year story and it'll be done. But I'm sure Paramount Plus seems to be having a lot of success with their Star Trek shows. So I'm sure there will be more to come, Star Trek fans. Do not worry. You know, when it comes to Trek, man, I enjoy the movies. I've seen almost all the films, and we've covered a few of them on the show. But I've never been a hardcore series guy. Like, I watched some of Next Generation back in the day, and I did watch the first season of Picard. But I just never could commit to, you know, the shows. But back in the day, the shows were, you know, 24 episodes in a season. Now, you know, they're shorter, but I have heard good things about them. So, you know,
yeah.
But Discovery ending after season 5, we got our first look this week at Disney's Haunted Mansion, a highly anticipated reboot of the show. Was it a reboot, or it's not really a remake, or just a new version of the Haunted Mansion?
I think it's just a new version. Yeah.
I think it's Rosario Dawson's in this one. I actually thought the trailer was pretty cool. And not something I'm going to rush the theaters to see. I'll wait for it on Disney Plus, but not a bad trailer. Did you get a chance? Did you check it out?
I did not get to check it out. But you know, I did mention, I never saw the first one.
Yeah. I don't think I ever did either.
I'm curious. I need to watch the first one so I can see. I know there's a lot of people that love it.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. It's very popular, man. So it definitely has its fan base. There is going to be a Stranger Things prequel stage show, which is apparently going to tell the origins of Vinka. Interesting. And I guess they're going to film it and air it as a Netflix special also. Weird, I guess. It's like a stage show and it's considered part of the canon of the show. Take that information as you want.
Yeah.
Like I said, not a whole lot of news. A couple more quick things. Super Mario Brothers, you can now see it on April 5th, 2 days sooner. It's going to come out Wednesday instead of Friday. And then there's been rumors going that Warner Brothers is looking to do a Batman Beyond film, similar, maybe not the same animation style, but kind of like a Spider-Verse, like their version, DC's version of a Spider-Verse film, possibly Batman Beyond. As a, you know, it's been Batman Beyond has been a highly requested film version for many years by fans, and so it looks like DC's highly considering possibly an animated version of it in some
ways. I really liked watching it.
So yeah, it's a good show. It took some time to grow on me as a hardcore Batman fan, back in the day, but I came to appreciate it. And I actually owned it on Blu-ray. I bought it when it came out. And,
nice.
So I have learned to appreciate the show a lot more than I did when it first came out. So
I like how, you know, Bruce is still trying to kick ass at like 70 years old in the movie. And he still has his wits about him. I like how they don't make him decrepit. He's just aging simply. Yeah. And Terry, I like the character of Terry. You know, it's kind of weird that, you know, he's getting most of his power from the suit. Suit has some agility enhancers in it and strength enhancers. Cause he's basically a jock.
Yeah. He's more scrawny.
Yeah. A little scrawnier. I think he might do some track or stuff like that, but I don't think he has much martial arts training. But the bad guys were cool. I remember this one bad guy in the series. She had she had a sword that could cut through like friggin' blocks of concrete. And he's like trying to, you know, dodge her sword, and she's like cutting straight through like solid trees and stuff like that. So some cool bad guys. Yeah. But you know, if done right, I think it could be pretty cool.
Yeah. We'll see if the rumors are true and what happens with that. That's all the news. Like I said, it wasn't much. It was okay that we saved it for after the feature film before we get out of here tonight. And before we get out of here, let's preview next week's movie, as it is Oscar season. The Oscars are next Sunday night. And, you know, I used to be kind of an awards guy, but now I just kind of casually see who wins and stuff like that. A throwback to the beginning of the episode where we were talking a little bit about Saving Private Ryan and the loss of Tom Sizemore. I could never forgive the Academy for never letting Saving Private Ryan win Best Picture. I've been upset for 20 years over that. So I kind of take the Academy with a grain of salt. But this year is one of those few years where I think it's going to be really interesting, because I think this movie that we're going to talk about next week might win the big award, and deservingly so. Now, when we did our top 10 movies of the year, I had this movie at number 3 as my favorite movies of the year. But that doesn't mean I don't think it's not deserving to possibly win Best Picture, because I had Batman at number 1, Top Gun Maverick at number 2. I had this movie at number 3, but I absolutely do think this movie is very worthy of winning Best Picture if it wins, and that is Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Mrs. Wang. Mrs. Wang, are you with us?
I am paying attention.
Now, you may only see a pile of receipts, but I see a story. I can see where this story is going. It does not look good. What's happening?
Evelyn, I'm not your husband. I'm another version of him from another universe. I'm here because we need your help.
Very busy today. No time to help you.
Across the multiverse, I've seen thousands of Evelyns. You can access all their memories, their emotions, even their skills. There's a great evil spreading throughout the many verses. And you may be your only chance of stopping it.
Don't make me fight you. I am really good.
I don't believe you.
Wow, that was really good.
Time, he's waiting in the wings.
The universe.
He speaks of senseless things.
Is so much bigger. Script is you and me. Than you realize.
Of all the places I could be, I just wanted to share with you.
Remember our mission concerning the fate of every single world of our infinite multiverse.
There is no way I am the Evelyn you are looking for.
Every rejection, every disappointment has led you here to this moment. Don't let anything distract you from it.
just a movie that kind of came out of nowhere last year and took the world by surprise. And a lot of people have fallen in love with this film. They've fallen in love with the performances of Michelle Yeoh and Kee Kwan Kwan's comeback, which has been so awesome to see. I mean, it's just so cool to see him taking selfies with people and just all these award shows and really enjoying mm-hmm. the moment that he's having. I mean, if he doesn't put a smile on your face, and you know, you need to double check yourself, you know, because it just really is a pleasure to watch his excitement over all of this. And you know, the movie is available on Showtime streaming if you haven't seen it yet. I mean, there's plenty of places digitally to rent this or watch it, and it's worth your time. It's an incredible film, and we're going to talk about it next week. I know we talked about it when we all saw it last year. We did some of many reviews of the show, but we're going to go mm-hmm. full force next week into Everything Everywhere All at Once and break down the zany multiverse craziness of this movie. But it's such a thrill to watch. And another movie, just like Creed, that has a lot deeper meaning to it, that's very much about family and living for the moment and not taking any second of life for regret. I mean, that's a lot of what this movie's about.
And hot dog fingers.
Yes, and hot dog and lots of weird stuff and rocks that talk.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to rewatching it, man. I've seen it two or three times since it came out, but I'm going to watch it again this week because I really like the movie a lot. So next week on the show, Everything Everywhere All at Once. And, of course, go to rebelradiopodcast.com, as we mentioned earlier in the show, for all your Rebel Radio needs, our social media and episodes you want to listen to. And, again, just thank you, as always, for listening. We do appreciate it. And until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Remember, as always, just go there and do it.
And do it.